will come at this time. Wait upon you for your gift and offering. And Jim. We're continuing our series this morning on the names of a believer. And we're going to continue in this. We are looking now specifically at identifying labels of what we are and who we are. For instance, we're Christians. We are heirs. We are sons of God. We looked at those names. And, you know, many times, of course, you know very famously that Jesus spoke about the I ams. I am the true vine. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And so in these passages, we can say, I am. I am a son of God. I am an heir of God. I am a Christ one. I belong to Jesus Christ. So this morning, let me see if this works this way. Works this way. There we go. This morning, we're looking at a passage. Well, let's see. It's on here. Do you know that the screen's not on? Scott? Okay. Is Al around? There we go. Thank you very much. Al. It's not Al, it's Rob. But this morning we're looking at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where Paul says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So here is the passage we're going to look at this morning, that we are called ambassadors. Did you ever think that you were an ambassador? Well, you are. That's one of the labels of who we are, of being an ambassador. So I started to think quite a bit of what is an ambassador. So this is the definition of Webster's Dictionary of what an ambassador is. An ambassador is the highest diplomatic representative that one sovereign power or state sends officially to another. The highest diplomatic representative that a sovereign power or state sends officially, as sent out, validated, to another. Well, in many ways, I could say this, that what is an ambassador is really someone who is diplomatic. And sometimes you can say, well, let's be diplomatic. What does it mean to be diplomatic? Let's be diplomatic about this. You're having a conversation with somebody at the office and things, or there's a tension. Well, little honey, let's just be diplomatic about it. What does that mean? Well, a diplomatic person is a person who's able to represent or manage a certain position. You have a certain position on something, and let's be diplomatic about talking about this and reasoning about this and understanding one another about this. Well, let me tell you, God is very diplomatic. In Isaiah chapter 1, he says, come now, let us reason together. That's very diplomatic. God is seeking to reach out to the people of Israel. He says, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, though you've sinned, though this has happened to you, though you've turned away, it doesn't need to stay that way. A diplomat always has this heart of to reach out. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. They are red like crimson. They will be like wool. And one of the most famous words in all of the Bible is come. Did you know that? Come. You should look up in accordance how many times God speaks or the people of God speak about come. And come is an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you peace. Take my yoke upon you. Revelation chapter 4. Come up and I will show you great things that you know not of. Come, come, come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right? A man went out a parable. Come, come, they would not come. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come, come. And many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. Why are they going to come? Because God invites them. Come. That's Isaiah 2. They remember Isaiah 1. Jesus said the Lord seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Every Sunday morning, God's looking down. Come, this is the day of my son's resurrection. Celebrate it. Come unto me. Come and worship me. Come and sing to me. Come and listen to me. Isaiah 2:5. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Why? Because God invites us. God is very diplomatic. God is very reasonable. In Romans 2, it says, you know, don't take for granted the kindness, the forbearance, the love of the Lord, knowing that if you don't listen to what God is wanting you to for your good, that you're storing up wrath for the day of wrath. God is always reaching out to people. You only let God get as close as you want him to. He's always saying this. Let's talk. Initiating this. I told you this. One of my favorite themes is God is the great initiator. God is the one who stepped out and made the world. God is the one who stepped out and called Abraham. God is the one who called out and called Noah. And God is the one who stepped out. What's all that? God is all, come. Though your sins be as scarlet. So here we have again the highest diplomacy. To be a diplomat, let's be diplomatic about this. Sent from one sovereign power state officially to another. Now, you know, some people were very willing to be diplomatic and an ambassador and sent on God's behalf. In fact, the person who really did this that's so famous that Paul Allman was talking about is Isaiah. After he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, you know, holy, holy, holy. He says, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And then God takes care of it. An angel comes and he puts a incense and he says, your sins are forgiven. And then the next verse says, this is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, here I am, send me. This is the diplomat. This is the ambassador. Send me. Remember, the ambassador, the diplomat is the person that is sent officially from one official state to another. So he says, who's going to go for us? Here I am, send me. Some people were not as reticent to do it. You know who was not? Moses. God called Moses, I want you to go. I don't want to go. Why can't you go? Well, you know, I don't speak good. I don't do this. I don't, you know, and I don't want to go. I don't want to go. What's that in your hand? It's your staff. You go. You go. But he went. He went. He was sent officially from one sovereign to another. But he was not so willing to go. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then you have some people who downright didn't want to go and didn't go, and then they got disciplined for it. Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And he got in a boat, ran the other way. No, I mean, this is real. And a storm, and it threw him in, and he was in the belly of the fish, and he spits him out, and he says, salvation is of the Lord. He came to a second time, go. And then he went. But, you know, this is, you're willing to do it. You're not willing, reluctant to do it. And obviously, sometimes we don't do it. But we are ambassadors. We're the representatives. We're the diplomats. We're the people who say to reason. And then if I could say this, God sent his ultimate. Remember the definition again. The highest diplomatic representative from one sovereign power. Who is the highest representative? Jesus Christ. The Father sent me, Jesus said. I have come to do thy will, O God. Not my will be done, your will be done. He that believes in me doesn't believe in me, but believes in him who sent me. Jesus was an ambassador for the Father. For the words which you have given to me, John 17:8. The words you have given to me, I have given to them. That's the ambassador. They have received them and truly understand that I came from you. That's an ambassador. And they believe that you sent me. I am the ambassador. And then Paul says, we are ambassadors. I am an ambassador. As the Father sent me, so I send you. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But again, I'm just moving through this to give you sort of the definition again. The highest diplomatic representative. You know, Jesus spoke about the parable about the people who had the vineyard, and he sent people to go and collect the rent for the vineyard, and they didn't want to pay, they didn't want to pay, and then he says, well, I'll send my son, they'll listen to him. I mean, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. God sent many representatives. God sent prophets, and he sent priests, and he sent kings. God sent all the minor prophets. I mean, but then he sent his son, as Isaiah, as Hebrew says, who in these last days has spoken to us, to his son. That's the highest diplomatic representative. He sent his own son, not bone of his bone, but spirit of spirit. I'm from above, you're below. I know things that I speak of. Come, let's reason together. Here again, it goes on, the highest diplomatic representative, that one sovereign power or state sends officially to another. One sovereign power or state sends to another. You know how many times the kingdom of God is mentioned in the four Gospels? 137 times. And you know that 99% of them is spoken by Jesus. The kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. All the parables, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that went to search. The kingdom of heaven is like, unless you become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Nobody spoke about this. Nobody revealed this amazing truth except the diplomat, the ambassador, the reality of it. How do we pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's the first thing out of Jesus' mouth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When he was born, he will be great, Luke 1:32, and will be exalted, called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. I should read on because I didn't finish. Let me just read on because I didn't finish the verse, so let me read it to you. There's more to it. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no end. In John 18, Jesus is talking to Pilate, and he says, are you a king? He says, my kingdom is not of this world, inferring there is a kingdom. It's not this world. But there is a kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. And then you have this amazing verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What is Paul talking about there? He's talking about the kingdom of God, righteousness, holiness. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor effeminates, nor liars, nor gossipers, nor adulterers will enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't be deceived. There is a righteousness. There is a holiness. There is a day of judgment. Don't be deceived. That which you see is temporal. Hollywood's just temporal. Your money's temporal. Your house is temporal. Your family is temporal. What you don't see is eternal. Sins, righteousness, forgiveness, holiness, serving God, knowing God, living for God, being with God. And then you have this wonderful passage in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Look it up. Revelation 11, 15. The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's the sovereign that was sent. And that's who Paul sees his commission from. Sent from the king. I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador from the monarch of all monarchs, King of kings and Lord of lords. Then it says this, the highest diplomatic representative that one sovereign power or state sends officially to another. Officially, you really could say, is being commissioned. You know, Jesus said these words, the Father sent the Son and the Son sent us. So send I you. You know that famous hymn. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. This is the prayer of Jesus to his Father, John 17, 18. As you sent me, I sent. Remember, it's a person sent to another country, another sovereign, another people in that sense. That they may be one, John 17, even as you, Father in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. that you send me, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and came down, and that we can believe in him. But they may believe, the world may believe, that you sent me. John 20:21. So Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is after the resurrection. Shalom Aleichem. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So I also send you. So we're officially sent. You may not feel officially sent, but you are. You may feel not like a diplomat, but you are. We're going to talk about this. I'll tell you why we feel it and don't feel it. I'll tell you why you identify yourself as representing the king or you don't feel representing of the king. I can tell you why Jesus was very conscious of that, what made it unique that he was aware of that, and why we're not always so aware of it. But Paul says, I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador, a representative. So let's go back to the passage. And in the passage, you look at the context, because this is 2 Corinthians 5:20. We looked at this passage on New Year's Day. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. So if a person is in Christ, as I told you, Paul says, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. What you did in the past is gone, forgotten, cleansed. The things are remembered no more. Behold, I make all things new, and the former things will be remembered no more. Great thing we looked at on New Year's Day. And then the next verse says, now all these things are from God, who made me a new creation, who brought me into Christ, who put me into Christ, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He reconciled us. God did something to officially bring me to the place where I would be a representative for him and speak for him and go out for him and be sent by him. All these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Though, you know, reconciliation is where you have parties that are separate and they're brought together. That's diplomacy, isn't it? That's being diplomatic. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. God is a peacemaker. God is out to bring peace to people. And the reason there's war in a home, two against one and one against two, is because people hate the light and they don't want the peace and they'd rather have their sin and they're trying to smuggle it out and put it out. There's an enemy called Satan, that people are trapped by the enemy. Let's read on. Again, we're getting to the verse. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling, that's diplomacy again, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know, there was this talk about maybe a year or two ago about forgiving the debt of third world countries in Africa. And let me tell you something, I mean, there's a lot of poverty in Africa, and people have borrowed money from the World Bank, and they're in debt, and then because of corruption of governments, it didn't help the country many times. And so now they have these things. If you're a legitimate country and elected democratically and are really seeking to establish, get rid of corruption and self, we'll give you money and we'll forget your debt. Now you may say, wow, no one forgives my debt. Let me tell you why it's good to forget the poor people's debt. Because you'll never get anything from them. You'll never get anything from them. They're going to be poor forever and ever and ever. So let's give them an opportunity to build something, and then guess what? They become partners with us, consumers for us, buying things. You know, you have bankruptcy. You wanted to see United Airlines go down the tubes and everybody goes unemployed, or they had a process of bankruptcy. They had, notice, their trespasses against them was not counted against them. Now, I'm not saying you should always do that. If they do that again and again and again, you can say, you know, that's enough. Clean your house. Put it in order. But this is what God did to us. He was diplomatic. He forgave us our debts. And suddenly, look what we are. If we could never forgive our debts or pay our debts, you think you'd be an ambassador? No. Would you be a new creation? No. Would you be a son of God? No. Would you be an heir of God? No. Would you be the light of the world? No. But because God has forgiven us and reconciled us and been the ambassador to us in his Son and cleansed us, we've given this opportunity to be servants of him, knowing him, talking about him, light for him, salt for him. That's why God's done that. That's how he did it for us. And then finally he says, therefore, God's the ambassador. God has sent his son. We're diplomats. God is the peacemaker. He is the reconciler. He is the reasonable reason together. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. You're sent into the world to represent Jesus Christ. Now, you may be here this morning and you say, boy, I don't feel like that. I'm ready to go watch the football game. And I'm ready to do other things, and I'm ready to do this, and you may, but let me tell you why you don't feel it many times. And why I don't feel it many times. Because Paul felt it. He talked about, in one place, we'll look at a little bit later in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, I'm ambassador for Christ in chains. He's an ambassador for Christ. When he was in chains, when he was in prison, he was still reasonable. He knew, I'm still a representative. I'm still the highest diplomatic representative sent from one sovereign country or state to another. Two things I want to talk about. Two issues of being an ambassador. The first thing is that an ambassador is someone who represents the principles of the one you represent. You are there as a envoy to reflect the principles. You know, if Russia, when Russia was communist, who do you think the ambassador to the United Nations was under Stalin and Brezhnev and Gorbachev? Well, they're communists. Of course they're communists. They have to be communists. We're not going to send something official who's not communist if that's our stand and our representing of our principles. Who do you think is the representative of Iran in the United Nations or in America or Jordan? They're Muslims. Of course they're Muslims. They're not going to send a Jew, right? Yeah. Of course they're Muslims. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised they talk their talk and walk their walk. A communist is going to talk the communistic line. He's the representative. He's the diplomat. You expect that from him. Israel is going to send someone who's Jewish. And he doesn't go to the United Nations on Jewish holidays because I represent my country. I'm Jewish. What is the representation of the principles of the one we represent? Paul Allemann hit it right on the head. He read my notes this morning. He couldn't read it. I can't read it sometimes. And my wife can never read it. Holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You can negotiate, you can represent, you can talk, but my friend, if you're not holy, you're not the ambassador. You can get on TV and talk all you want and rattle all you want and do all you want and get all the money all you want. If you're not holiness, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. I don't care if you're born again or not. Well, that's a radical statement. It doesn't say only born again holy people. It says holy people. Now, the way to get holy is to get born spiritually. You are a spiritual diplomat, a spiritual representative, a spiritual negotiator, a spiritual sent one. And the reason you may not feel like an ambassador is that basically you're not talking and being the diplomat that you're representing. Now, I'm not saying again you have to be perfect. I'm not saying again that, you know, there is none righteous, no, not one. But what I'm talking about is that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. You think about where you're at. You think about the sins. You think about meaning business with God. You think about controlling your eyes, controlling your mind, controlling your thoughts. You think about the money God's given to you. You think about the things God's given to you. You think about reflecting a person cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the world and God. You cannot not have a foot in the kingdom of God and a pinky toe in the world. You can't. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. So it's holiness, 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 holiness. That's what they cry out to God day and night without ceasing. The second thing is, so the first thing is, you reflect the principles. Now, again, let me say this. That's why we come to Jesus Christ. You don't need to stay unholy. God can give you confession of sin and give you strength, and God is the beginning of a new day. God does forgive you, and God wants to use you. God wants you to be a holy vessel for Him. You think God's an ogre out there trying to make you feel as dirty as you can? Not at all. How many times in the Bible we see about Satan accusing the brethren, accusing Joshua the high priest? This is not Joshua from the book of Joshua, but in Zechariah, and he accused him, and then God says, I rebuke you, Satan. God wants you to represent Him. God wants you to identify. God wants you to be a diplomat for Him. God wants you to speak on His behalf. God wants you to be sent on His behalf. He wants that. You are that. You are that. You are that. And then the second thing, which I want to spend most of the time on, which I think is the major reason why we don't feel like ambassadors, is that you to realize the ones you're sent to. I would personally be surprised that President Bush would send somebody to be the ambassador to Japan who doesn't like Asians. You'd say that's pretty funny, isn't it? Wait. Wait. I'd probably be a little surprised if the president sent somebody to Africa who didn't like blacks. I remember I met a missionary who I know very well in Italy. And he had such a deep commitment to the Italian people and to Italy and to the ministry and the gospel that he did something that I've never heard about with any other missionary. He became an Italian citizen, which, by the way, took him about 15 years. This was not easy. This was not easy to become an Italian citizen. I met a missionary in the Philippines who taught at a missionary school, English missionary school, and they couldn't stand the Filipinos. Now stop for a minute. They stayed in the conclave. All I heard about was how dirty Filipino people are. When I finally took them out to dinner, all they did was complain about this gross food. It wasn't gross to me, it was very delicious. They didn't love the Filipino people. What are you here for? I mean, what, you know, who are you representing? This is not Christ-likeness. To really love and have a burden and an interest of the people that you're sent to? Look at these words. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. We love that verse. We know that verse. But then we go to the next verse, which we don't always quote. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. This is the diplomat. That's why they were shocked that Jesus was hobnobbing with all these people that you and I talk about. With AIDS and homosexuals and blacks, and Japanese, and communists, and Muslims, and Palestinians, and blowing up the American flag, and blowing up this, and doing that. God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. He's talking here, Jesus is talking here, the rich young ruler. You know the story? A man came to me and says, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Wow, what an opportunity. Come in the back room and you'll be saved by the time you can blink an eye. He says, well, you know the commandments of God, you know the requirement, the holiness of God. And then he said foolishly, oh, I've done all these things. Yeah, you did them, but you're not them. You don't know how bad you are. He said, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, do you know that? Jesus looked at him and he felt a love for him. I mean, he literally, the scriptures almost think about that his bowels were aching for him. Compassion, that's what it means. The bowels of a person, the inward parts of a person hurt. He had a love for him and said to him, let me tell you something. As a diplomat, let me tell you what's the best thing for you. One thing you lack, sell all you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Wow. Wow. Come and follow me. I can hear Jesus talk. I'm going to have treasures in heaven. Just these temporal things. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. Couldn't see it. But what motivated Jesus? His love for him. His love for him. When Jesus... there, but at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. This is Jesus going on shore and he saw 5,000 people. And he went on shore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them. You find that all the time. Look up the words compassion about Jesus. He looked at a leper and he had compassion upon him because they were outcast people, but not to Jesus. I'm a diplomat to the world. And I love the world, black and yellow, red and white, they are precious in his sight. Look what Paul says here. For though I am free from all men, this is the ultimate Christian ambassador's code. I wanted to go on the internet and see if there was a code for ambassadors. Didn't find it. You know, like ambassadors do this. They don't get tickets in New York. They can double park. They can do all that. They have what's called diplomatic immunity. I know when I lived in New York City, tried to find a parking spot near the UN because a friend of mine lived there. And we used to go visit him, Debbie and I. And all these double parked cars breaking the law, but they're immune. They're immune. For though I am free from all men, though I'm free from all men, Paul says, because I serve Christ, I'm here, I'm committed, I'm a slave to Christ and free from men. I make myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews, I became a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. So here are the Jews. He says, I'll go out and negotiate with the Jews, speak to the Jews, let them stone me, let them do this to me, but I want to reach them. I'll be a Jew that I may win the Jews and those that are under the law. I'll not myself put under the law, that I may win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, the Gentiles, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so I may win those who are without law. Read on. To the weak I became weak. To the weak, I became weak. What does that mean? That I may win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that I may by some means or all means save some. Wow. This is a man whose heart is the heart of God. A broken heart for the needs of a hurting world sent by Jesus Christ to be a diplomat. And look how the world did things to him. But he got himself up and he went out to preach. To the weak I became weak. To the Jew I became a Jew. To those without the law I became out without the law. To all men that by some means I may win some. I may win some. Now let me show you the opposite of this. Oh, by the way, I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. That was his motivation. Christ in that way. You know, this past week I read the Gospel of John. And I got to say again, I told my wife, I think that's the greatest book ever written. Oh my goodness. The things that are said in that book, I preached through it and I preached through Romans, but I was very overcome by it. And one thing I noticed when I was hearing the Gospel of John, I read it like in 2 days, was I want you to show how not to be a diplomat. And you know who not to be a diplomat is? The Pharisees. They didn't love the people. They were only interested in themselves. That's why sometimes we don't feel like a diplomat or an ambassador, because we're thinking about ourselves, our interests. So here is this passage here. They sent people to arrest Jesus. They were chicken themselves, you know. But they sent others to do the dirty work. The officials then came to the chief priests and said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has a man spoke the way this man spoke." They were amazed at his teaching because it hit the very soul of their life, their heart. The Pharisees then said to them, "You have not also been led astray, have you?" Here they want him to do their work for them, and they don't see them as helping them. He says, "Oh, well, you can't do my cause, so you're worthless. You haven't been led astray. Not one of the rulers or Pharisees that believe in him, has he? But the crowd which does not know the law is accursed." This is what the Pharisees said. "You bunch of people, you're all a bunch of animals. You're all cursed." Well, that's being diplomatic, isn't it? "All those blacks, they just deserve to wallow in their poverty. All those Muslims, that guy with AIDS, he gets what he deserves." Don't be deceived, we quote the verse, "What a man sows, that will he reap." They came to Jesus and says, "There was a tower that fell. Were these people terrible because this thing happened to them?" He says, "Let me tell you, you don't repent, you're going to end up just like them." Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? It's the mercies of God that you're not a homosexual, that you're not with AIDS. It's the mercies of God that you're not in prison today. It's the kindness of God. You and I have the potentials for all the sins of what we could commit. It's the mercies of God. This crowd, which does not know, they're cursed. They're all a bunch of garbage. There. That's how the Pharisees were. Then here is a woman. They tried to trick Jesus. You know the story. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and having set her in the center of the court. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act." Now, you've heard me speak about this many times. First of all, this is totally unlawful because it says in the Old Testament that if people are caught in the act of adultery, you bring the man and the woman. Where is the man? Who cares about the man? We just want to get the woman so we can trick Jesus. They didn't care about paying the man. They didn't care about the Jewish people living for God. They didn't care about that. They were only interested in themselves. They were only interested in being right. Christians don't have to be right. Only Jesus is right. He's got big enough shoulders. He's big enough. He won't fall off his throne. "Teacher, this woman's been caught in adultery in the very act." And how did they get her in the act? Because they paid a man and they knew what time and it was all plotted. You know, it's like sending a person to Japan who hates the Japanese. What are you going to do? These are the Pharisees sent and they hated the Jews. They hated people. "Now in the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him. See, they didn't care about Jesus. They didn't want to know the truth. They only were interested in being right. And that's the hurt of many times we are as believers. The reason we don't feel like an ambassador is because we don't have this true burden and tears and hunger and desire for the lost. "So that they might have stooped for a cursing him, but Jesus stooped down and writing with his finger wrote on the ground." And we know then he says, "He that was out said, let him cast the first stone." I'm not done. Let me show you another passage. Here was a man who was blind his whole life. And he was healed. And oh man, people were just excited. But the Jews weren't excited. And they brought him in. They doubted him. He began to speak. They doubted him again. They didn't care. They weren't rejoicing that he got healed. Imagine that. Nothing like this had been done in Israel. Oh, Almighty God has visited us. For 400 years, there's been nothing since Malachi. How they could have praised God. No, we don't care about this blind man. He's blind because his mother was sinful. His mother. Then they brought him in. He says, the man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opens my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone's eyes opened, the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would do nothing. He could do nothing. This man is overwhelmed. They answered him, "You are born entirely in sin, and are you teaching us?" And they put him out. You see, they didn't care about the man. This is the picture of if I could say this, the Jonah. You know, he didn't care for them. That's why we don't feel like ambassadors, because we don't see how we're sent representative to people and to talk to them and to hear them and to befriend them and to go the extra mile for them. I'll never forget a pastor I met in Pennsylvania who came back from the Vietnam War. He told me, of course, this is many years later, and he was a total alcoholic and total, I mean, his whole mind was blown and shot. I mean, he was in drugs, and he says the thing that changed his whole life was that he had a Christian friend of his who tried to keep telling him about knowing Christ and forgiveness. And the thing that changed his whole life was one morning he woke up and he had just overdosed on drugs and he had been vomiting all night. And he looked up and he saw his friend cleaning his feet. He woke up and he saw his man there. And at that moment he says, "I believed in Jesus Christ." I thank, as I said, Keith Gates. I yelled at Keith Gates. I hated Keith Gates. I wanted to kill Keith Gates. I thank God that Keith Gates didn't give up on me. And by the way, that man now is in the pastoral ministry. He didn't have a mind, and then God gave him the mind of Christ. And now he's leading people to Christ and serving in the church and sending people on the mission field. My goodness, what is a little foot washing going to be for that man's reward in eternity? Here is Jonah. "Arise, go to Jonah, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah rose up and fled to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He didn't like the Ninevites. He had a prejudice. And we as Christians, if I could say this very, very guardedly, we have to always guard against being prejudiced. Then finally he goes to the belly of the whale and he says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you." And he went. He went. And then it says this, he preached to them, and he says, "When God saw their deeds and they turned from their wicked ways, that God relented concerning the calamity which he declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." So here he preached, "Repent," and from the highest to the lowest, from the peasant man to the king, they all repented, and God had mercy upon them. But Jonah's not happy. Look what he says in chapter 4. "But it displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He said," he prayed to the Lord, he says, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country?" Now listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this prejudice. "Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarsus. For I know that you are gracious and compassionate God. I know that you're slow to anger and abundant love and kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. But that's only for me, because I'm a good Jewish boy." See, that's only for me. That's only for us. Forgiveness is not just for you. "God so loved the world. Come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden." It's not just our little ghetto. It's not our little enclave. It's not our little clique. It's ambassadors to Christ. And Paul said, "I'll go anywhere, to any place, under any time, before kings, before peasants, before Romans, before Jews, before Gentiles, that I may tell them the unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ." You're that, my friend. You're that. And I'm not saying these words to condemn you or me because we're not holy, but there is a way that we are holy in Christ and that we cannot be ambassadors, because God can change our attitude and change our view and change our attitude about things and people. Seeing ourselves, "Lord, you've been merciful to me. Let me have mercy upon others." And then we have the passage here. Again, the highest diplomatic representative that one sovereign power or state sends officially to another. Well, look what happened with Paul. Paul is praying or speaking here in Ephesians 6, "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, that I may negotiate diplomatically and share and tell people to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains." I am an ambassador in chains, that I ought to proclaim, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. My friend, you are a spiritual diplomat to a hurting world. And you know, you could even think this morning, who has God sent me to? Who is the ones in my family or my acquaintance or in my job or in my neighborhood? Where can I be a peacemaker? Where can I bring the love of Christ? Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, you're not going to judge anybody into the kingdom of God. You know that? You're not going to win an argument into anybody in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way because that's not how God works. He brought us, we love him because he first loved us. Your offering, you're the representative of the benefits and the blessings of Jesus Christ. Your offering, you're a representative of the great blessings and benefits that are of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, it's enough to think that we are little Christ Christians. Not that we are the Christ, but we are in him. It's one thing to think, Lord, that you have made us amazingly sons of God, heirs of God. And yet this morning, you have placed us as the highest diplomatic representative, as your children, as Christians, to go into a kingdom that will have no end, to represent a kingdom that will have no end, from everlasting to everlasting. America will come and go, and countries will come and go, and the Roman Empire will come and go, and the Greek Empire, and the Communist Empire, and the Muslim Empire, but your kingdom will have no end. It will have no end. And so, Father, help us to reflect you in holiness, and help us to reflect you in the love for sinners. We were sinners, and you loved us. Help us. If we don't feel it, Lord, we pray, work in our hearts. Share with us, give it to us by your Holy Spirit, that we may represent you as becoming you. Father, bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to